I've seen mosaic before. Have you ever seen a mosaic before? A picture where you've got different pieces that they're all unique, so they're diverse, and different colors, different shapes. And the cool part is that you take all of those pieces and you put them into creating this picture. And if you get real up close, it can be kind of challenging to figure out what they're trying to put together, what they're trying to create, what the artist is designing. But when you kind of pull back off of that a little bit, often you can see the beauty of that design. And you go, wow, that is super creative. How cool is that? That they could take all those unique pieces, put them in strategic spots, and then be able to create this beautiful picture that communicates what the artist wanted everybody to be able to see. There's the beauty of a mosaic picture. Oftentimes we see them in churches. You ever see mosaic pictures in churches or prints maybe you hang on your wall? They're just absolutely just phenomenal, just wonderful pieces of art. Well, you may wonder, what has that got to do with where we're going today? And it actually is the analogy that I want to use for my time of sharing the word this morning. For those who maybe haven't been with us, whether it's online or if it's on site, we are in the midst of a series called Rebuilding. And so we're looking at the story of Nehemiah and seeing how does the story of Nehemiah offer some guidance for the church today in how to rebuild vibrant communities going through hard times. I thought that's definitely been something that's been our reality. For the last several months, we've gone through a rough time. For some, it's been more of a struggle than others. But for most of us, it's been inconvenient. It's been uncomfortable. It's been stressful. It's had its fair share of anxieties and disappointments. And we've just been left to sort of deal with it, you know, just sort of keep going. But the church has a mission, and that mission hasn't changed. You and I have the mission of going out and making disciples of Christ, teaching them to obey everything that Christ has taught us as we're baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We have this wonderful mission, and it never goes away. So we're left going, well, how do we do that in the midst of so much that we feel like we just can't do like we used to do? So how do we adjust with that and still build what the community that God calls his church to build, you know? So how do we do that? And so that's kind of been the idea of going through Nehemiah so far. And we've said, hey, right out the gate, it begins with prayer and love. And then we've said it also goes with knowing, being crystal clear about what you're doing and why you're doing it. And we saw that in Nehemiah 2. And now we're into Nehemiah chapter 3 today. So if you have your Bible with you today, maybe on your smartphone or a book with you, if you want to go to the book of Nehemiah in the Old Testament in chapter 3. Now, what I'm going to ask you to do is sort of just kind of peruse through that, all right? I'm not going to read out of it per se, because probably if I start reading this, you're going to get bored. And you say, well, why would you say that? Because chapter 3 is essentially a list of who did what where. That is all basically chapter 3 is: families, where they worked, what they were doing. That's the whole chapter. And you go, it feels like you're going back, you know, like into Leviticus or like into Numbers or something, and you're just kind of reading over and over. You're going, I gotta, you know, it just, I'm being honest, it just kind of has that feeling, right, for as you walk through that. But there's so much richness in this third chapter for us, and I love it. And it was fun getting ready for today, and I hope that you'll enjoy this chapter as much as I have enjoyed getting ready to teach it this morning. So if you're in chapter 3 in Nehemiah, you can look, just peruse through that chapter, maybe scroll through that if you got, you know, if it's on your phone or something, and just start looking, and you'll see what I'm talking about. You just constantly, you see this family did this here. Next family did this. The ones next to them did this. And it was here at this gate. It was this place. And it just nonstop. It just keeps going. And there's something pretty cool about that. Because when you take a moment and you look at all the different people that are being listed, there is so much diversity, so many diverse people coming together in one place. So if you were looking at that, start with right at the very beginning, and you see that one of the priests, Eliashib, is working there with some others at the sheep gate, and I'll come back to that in a moment. But then you'll see, if you keep reading, that there are also politicians who are putting their hands to work, and they start working on the wall alongside other folks, and some of those folks are goldsmiths. Some are perfume makers. You've got others that are urban folks that have lived in the city for quite a while. And then you've got some folks that are coming from out in the country, right? So they're so used to having these wide open spaces, probably nobody except for their family right around them. And they're coming alongside and they're working on the same project as the folks that grow up in the city. And they got their neighbor right there, you know, and they can lend stuff and borrow stuff from each other. And you've got men that are working on it, and you've got women that are working on it. Now, if you know a little bit about the culture, then in the day, men were predominantly doing this type of work, and they would be the ones that would get listed, right, in the records of who did what, when, and where. And if you are listing women in there as being a part of this project, then that is a very significant meaning for that list of people, that this was not just something that was done by just what would stereotypically be expected, that this was a whole community affair, that you had men and women along with all kinds of folks that were coming in and working together on this project. And I look at that and I think, you know what? That feels like a mosaic project. You catch what I'm getting? To me, it feels like a mosaic project. And you've, not and, because you have people that are just coming in, and if you're, and it seems to be this is the way Nehemiah was sort of running the deal, because Nehemiah was leading the charge, that people would be able to just kind of walk out of their home and hear some of the wall right in front of them and not too far. And so they would work on that wall. And you'd have the priests working where? A lot of working at the temple, working other places as well. And so this is why in the beginning of Nehemiah chapter 3 that Nehemiah starts with talking about the priest, and where is he working? At the sheep gate. You go, what is the sheep gate? Well, the sheep gate is a pretty cool place. That was a gate right by the temple. And so when people were coming to make sacrifices at the temple, they would bring their sheep through this gate, and the sheep would be cleaned before it was taken in and put on the brazen altar and sacrificed there at the temple. So what's significant for the priest? What's the sheep gate? Because that impacts his daily life. What's significant for a homeowner? That part of the wall. Why? Because that impacts their daily life. For politicians working along, you know, in the community, what makes sense for them? You work in your district. So the politicians were working in their areas that they were responsible for overseeing. People from outside are coming in and they're going, hey, like, I have no claims to anything inside Jerusalem, but I'm here. How can I work? What can I do? How can I help out? And so they put them to work and say, well, you know what? This is kind of an open area that needs to be worked on, so go for it, right? You guys work here. And so everybody's just working together. And for me, the beauty of this mosaic project, if I kind of give it that term, for me, I see it in all these diverse people rallying together for a common purpose. Coming together for common purpose, that for me, I see as twofold. It's, for one thing, it blessed God, a common purpose that would bless God, because they were protecting his city. They were restoring, kind of bringing a sense of identity and trying to remove the disgrace that the city had come to be experiencing. And so we're doing this for God, and we want to protect the temple and the temple treasury. But we want to do this for our community too, because this is our homeland. This is our place. And we take pride in our place, and God has given us this place, and we don't want to disrespect it. We actually want to make it better than it is today, because it's going to honor God and it's going to bless our neighbors. Because I care about the well-being of my neighbor that lives next to me. And if the wall is breached here and puts me at risk, then it puts them at risk. and it puts the city at risk, and I care about the well-being of my neighbors. Now, Nehemiah, I tell you, he's really good. Later in the story, when he's telling this, he points out the fact of how fast they built this wall. And then people recognized it. You've heard me mention that before. And I think the work that they did is great. But I believe that they're rebuilding through times of anxiety and fears and disgrace and disconnect from God and from each other, so that they could bring hope and they could bring peace to this community. To me, that's what's so phenomenal. For me, that's what is so beautiful, that so many diverse people working in strategic, significant places, for them, they join forces, not just for their own good, but for the good of God's name and for the good of the neighbors all around them in this community. That's their home. For me, that's beautiful. When I look at New Hope, and for those of you who are part of the New Hope family and wherever you're worshiping at today, and a number of you, you know, I know you're worshiping with us. And when I think of all the folks that are part of the New Hope family, I look out and I can think, and I go, there's not a whole lot of ethnic or racial diversity amongst our family, our church family. But there's still a lot of diversity in this church family. And what I mean by that is, when I think of you, and as I've gotten to know you over the last year, a little over a year and a half, which is phenomenal. We've already been together for over a year and a half. I look at you and I go, we have a very diverse range of professions in this church family. When I think of what folks are doing, from farming to nursing to teaching to working in a hospital to all over the place, right? There really is a good range of diverse professions that are here in the church. And then at the same time, I think, gosh, we have folks that are coming from Evansville. We have folks that are coming from Chandler, folks that are coming from Tennyson, folks that are coming from Boonville, folks that may be watching from other places as well, who consider themselves part of the New Hope family, but they're just from all over the place. And we've got kids that are in school in the EVSC and kids that are in Warwick County. We've got religious backgrounds, folks coming from Presbyterian, coming from Methodist, coming from Baptist, coming from Catholic, coming from all sorts of backgrounds, and even no church background at all. There is a huge diversity amongst us. And for those of you whose hobby is cooking, and you have been cooking for the church and the potlucks before we went into COVID and being not able to meet, I love your hobby. Because you cook so well, and you bless this pastor. Man, do you bless me. I love it. But, you know, there's just all sorts of differences amongst us, different tastes, right? So different passions, and that is very natural. We are so uniquely shaped and so diverse, so different from one another. That's what helps us. That is what helps us. Some may fear that diversity is what hinders us from moving forward, but the reality is that no. It's actually our own diversity within the body of Christ that helps us to actually move forward and to build in ways and to achieve things that we would never be able to accomplish with the quality and excellence that we could if we were all the same. It just wouldn't happen. We need you who you are. Not you trying to ever pretend to be somebody that you're not. You being you. We need you. You say, well, I ain't got much to give, and I don't see how I'm ever be much help, or, you know, there's people that are better at it than me. Well, here's the thing about that. God has shaped you the way that you are. Now, here's the unique thing about that. I use that word shape as an acronym. Spiritual gift, your heart, I'm talking about your passion, right? Your abilities, your personality, in your life experiences, that your shape goes together to make you uniquely you. And you have God's handprint on your life. You are fearfully and wonderfully made by the Creator of heaven and earth. There is nobody else in the world just like you. And that's beautiful. That's absolutely beautiful. And some, you know, and sometimes in that diversity, we may feel like, well, everybody just needs to be able to do everything and anything at any moment because, it, you know, it's like we all got stuff to give and you just jump in, you serve, and you do whatever needs to be, and you just do the best you can. And that's absolutely right. That there, you know, we do. We chip in and we just, no matter, you know, what our shape is, we just work together, right? Because we're on the same mission. But there's also something to be said about what the church can accomplish when the parts of the body embrace how they are shaped and they complement one another. And they say, I need you and you need me. And together, we're better. Now, you may not be here on site with us today, but that doesn't mean that we don't need you. And that doesn't mean that you're not valuable to the body and to the New Hope family. You absolutely are. And for those of you that are here today, you are absolutely valuable. We saw some of that already with just some of the musical abilities here, you know, this morning. They're using their gifts and their abilities and their skills. And there are some who have such a passion for serving the body of Christ in ways that never get up on the stage. And they don't ever want to be up in front of everybody else, you know? But their passion is to serve the body. And so, you know, I get it. There are some folks who, hey, their love for the church is most wonderfully expressed maybe when they're just cleaning the facility. Maybe when they're wiping down chairs, disinfecting chairs, so that when you come in, you have clean spots to sit. And that brings them joy to do that. And they may teach, and that brings them joy. They may do all sorts of different things, and you never see it. But just because we don't see you doing something in front of everybody else doesn't mean that you're not valuable, because you are. Absolutely valuable. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, Paul gives us some reassurance that God knows what he's doing and that truly we are better together. In Ephesians 4, 12, Paul, of course, he's talking about spiritual gifts, and I'm going to make a caveat on that in just a second. But Paul writes these words. He says that, you know, God has given spiritual gifts to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. I love it. Isn't it great? So that the body of Christ may be built up, growing stronger and healthier, vibrant, maturing, growing up in Christ. It's a beautiful, beautiful image. And truly, that is God's wisdom. God has created us to need one another. I think if there's any question about that, go back to the book of Genesis. When God created man, he said, it's not good that man should be by himself. I'm going to create a helpmate for him. From the beginning, God has says that my creation needs one another, that they're not complete unless they have one to complement them. And it's when they complement together, this is why God created in Genesis, that when they complement one another, that they cultivate and they build up what is good for each other and for the rest of the world. And when we look at the church, truly the church is the fullest expression of this wisdom. So when we work alongside one another, the world gets to see this wisdom in action. And God, I believe, uses that witness to draw the world to Christ. He wants the world to learn about his redeeming and restoring grace that unites the church. And he wants them to be drawn to him as we work together as the body. we can do so much together. We can create so much beauty that God has made possible for us to create together and to build together as the body of Christ. And the challenge is for us, I see, is simply this. It's figuring out how we do that well in a season when not everybody can be in the same place at the same time and working side by side, hand in hand. We just can't safely do that right now. For those of you that are, you know, who are at home today and you're not comfortable being in a space, we totally respect that. And our challenge is to help us unite together and complement one another, even though we can't be in the same space, because you're valuable just like you are valuable to the whole body. We need each other. I thought a fun way to show that today would be through a little project that was happening behind the scenes that not everybody knew about first thing this morning. Can I have that picture this morning? Thank you so much. Awesome. Oh, cute. It turned out nice. So we asked some of the kids. Now, if you're a parent, you already know what was going on. But anyways, we asked some of our kids and our youth that are here on site this morning if they would help out with a little project to reinforce what we're talking about. Asked them if they would work on putting together a mosaic for us. And I did that, for one, to get them to have a little something, right, to do, but also for driving home a point at the very end. It does not matter where you have come from. It does not matter your station in life. It does not matter of your age. It does not matter the color of your skin or whether you're a man or a woman. It doesn't matter whether you're a professional in business or you do something else. It doesn't matter. It is the cross of Jesus Christ that unites us together. It is by Christ that we have been brought into the kingdom, and through his Spirit within us, we are uniquely shaped through our spiritual gifts and the story of our lives, that when we come together, we make a beautiful mosaic that is an image of Christ, of his love, his grace, that accomplishes more together and is so much more beautiful than just the individual piece. The individual's good, don't get me wrong. But the body working together is magnificently phenomenal. Do you see it? It's so good. It's so good. And I believe that this is a great transition into celebrating communion together. But you see, in the sacrament of communion, we come to a place of worship, and we recognize that there is one Lord, and there is one faith. There is one body of Christ. We are one in Jesus Christ, but yet we are all so diversely shaped. But in the midst of our differences, we say, you know what? What matters at the end of the day is Jesus. And so in Jesus, we come and we remember, as part of our worship, the night that Jesus was betrayed. On that night, he took bread with his disciples celebrating the Passover, and he broke it. And he told his disciples, "Take and eat, for this is my body, which is given up for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." That same dinner of the Passover, when he was at the end of the meal with the disciples, he took the cup and he said, "Take this cup and drink from it. For this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, remember me. I've done this for you." Today, we ask that the Lord would bless these elements, that as we partake of them, that the Spirit of God would strengthen us from within and grow us up in Christ to keep being that beautiful mosaic that shares the goodness of God's beauty with the world as we work together, building vibrancy through hard times. Let us celebrate together. Blessed be the God of our salvation. Amen.